It's time for the VolQuest podcast, where we dissect the biggest news items of the week.
Good Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to the VolQuest.com podcast presented by Smoky Mountain Organics with Rob Lewis and Austin Price. I'm Brent Hubbs. Glad to have you along with us. Don't forget our good friends at Smoky Mountain Organics. You can visit them online at SmokyMountainOrganics.com, or you can check them out at one of their four locations, three in Sevier County, including Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, and of course, Sevierville, and that one in Knoxville at 8018 Kingston Pike, just across from Trader Joe's. That's Smoky Mountain Organics, East Tennessee's most trusted health and wellness store. Plenty to get to in this edition of the podcast. Rick Barnes' basketball team goes 2-0 last week. They beat Vanderbilt in Nashville 68-60. They win against LSU on Saturday 64-50. Rob Lewis, what did Rick Barnes learn about his basketball team this past week?
Man, I think he probably learned a couple of things, or at least had some things confirmed that he suspected. And, I mean, they've got some toughness to them. I think you saw that Saturday against LSU. I don't know that they – you know, I mean, I think LSU kind of brought that out in them. I mean, I think LSU, you know, raised Tennessee's hackles up a little bit with their antics, their histrionics, you know, their attitude, the way they, you know, trash talked them down in Baton Rouge. And I mean, I think Tennessee showed up and showed some backbone. I don't want to make too much of the Euros plastic tray for John Fulkerson, but man, I mean, it's a small sample size, however, but to me, that seems like it's been a good thing.
Right, I want to make a lot about it, and here's why. Because he just gives them a swagger. I mean, like, all the trash talk and all that stuff, he's been doing that from the bench. You're seeing it more now because he's on the floor. But, like, I think the kid's playing way more confident than he ever has in his career. I think he has got a greater inner belief, much like why Zakai Ziegler continues to have an impact. It's not that Zakai Ziegler's making some crazy amount of three drops, Rob, but he believes he belongs. And I think Uroš is starting to believe he belongs too. And I think that's changing the mindset of some of those guys that I think have lacked some confidence for most of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, he's always been one of the most popular kids on the team. And you're right, AP. I mean, he's showing the same emotion on the floor that he showed on the bench, like waving a towel or, you know, jumping around and celebrating. And I think it's infectious. But again, it's two games. I don't want to say this, it's, you know, going to flip the season around, but I think it's been a big deal. And also that's, you know, you're not even talking about the fact he's been far more productive than Fulkerson in SEC games. Yeah, I mean, it's not even close.
No, it's not even close. I mean, in fact, in seven SEC games, Uroš has 51 total points, 38 rebounds. That's an average of 7.3 points a game and almost five and a half rebounds a game. He's shooting 56% from the field, 20 of 36 in seven SEC games. Rob, I want to nickname him. Let's just call him Uroš the Bully. I mean, I think this team needs, and I don't want to say you should fight every game. That's not what it's about. But, I mean, he's not Admiral, so that's not the comparison. But you knew when you stepped on the floor there was a chance Admiral might get a T, right? I mean, he might fight with somebody. I mean, he had some kind of edge about him. Tennessee needs that, and Uroš has brought that to this team. Does that mean they're going to win out this week or they're suddenly going to be a high seed? I'm not saying that. But he brings an element of toughness, you know, at a position that has to be tough.
Yes. And Hubbard, even, I mean, I'm going to get to that in 1 second, but the numbers, since he's been starting, I mean, the numbers you threw out were good, but like since he's been getting 20 minutes a game, he's averaging 12 and a half points, 6.5 rebounds. Fulkerson was averaging 7 points, 3 rebounds in more minutes in SEC play. But to your point, watch Uroš. Watch when Tennessee plays. When the opponent gets up a shot, he's going to hit somebody. I mean, he's going to put when it's time to go rebound, somebody is getting moved. I mean, he may not get the rebound, but they're going to know he's there. And you can go back. I mean, this was really evident to me in the Kentucky game. I mean, Tennessee got their eyes beat in, but he put a body on Oscar Tshiebwe, and it bothered him. And if you remember that game, I mean, Tshiebwe, I mean, he got 12 rebounds, but he also just had 9 points, and Uroš affected it. and he didn't like it. And the two games since Euro's been in the starting lineup, I mean, I think Tennessee is a clearly much more physical, much more aggressive team. And I mean, the way Euro's plays suits his head coach's personality more than anybody else out on that floor, except for maybe Viscovi.
Yeah, the trash talk definitely suits Rick Barnes' personality. I love that. When he's saying, Brent, give me more, and he's hand gesturing and, you know, all that stuff. But, I mean, you look at just the energy that he brings. Like, I mean, he gets the big block, Rob. They go right down. Ziegler hits the three in transition after Vescovi. God, those old habits die hard. Vescovi, you know, kicks it out. And, I mean, it just some real momentum-type changing plays. And then you throw in the fact that Rob's already said the word histrionics in this podcast. I mean, I didn't even know that was a word 5 minutes ago. I mean, we're off to a rabid start.
You know, but, Rob, it's about the physicality element for Rick Barnes, okay? I mean, he can deal with the, you know, the waving at the crowd and everything. I mean, his biggest issue, I think, with his post players is their lack of physicality on a consistent basis. John Fulkerson, Kamwa, I mean, you're mentioning it. I mean, Plavich is good, and he's learned how to play without fouling. You know, he's not gotten himself in a bunch of foul trouble, but it's the physicality in there that Rick Barnes is looking for on both ends of the floor that is paying dividends for Tennessee. I'm with you, though. Pump the brakes. Let's don't anoint anything here, but it has been a clear shot in the arm for this basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday, I thought Tennessee was going to win that game. I didn't think they were going to, but I didn't think they would win it the way they did. I mean, they bullied LSU the way LSU bullied them in Baton Rouge. I mean, just it was 50 points. I mean, that's LSU's lowest total of the season. And I mean, I just think coach is better when he has guys like Yurosh. I mean, just physical. I mean, the best player that Rick's had here has been Grant Williams. I mean, Grant Williams was a guy that moved people. You know, I mean, that was the personality of that basketball team. I mean, they were physical. They were tough. They were hard-nosed. And I'm not comparing Yurosh to Grant. I mean, those are two birds of a completely different feather. I'm just saying, I think for Rick to really, you know, get in his groove, he's got to have a team that has an edge to it, like Yurosh brings to the floor.
All right, let's talk about this team defensively. I looked this up today, and I think my stats are correct here, Rob. When Tennessee gives up less than 70 points, they're 12-1. When they give up over 70 points, they're 1-4. The only game they won where they surrendered more than 70 points was the Arizona game. But the only game that they've lost where they've given up less than 70 points is that overtime loss to Texas Tech. Can Tennessee defensively sustain and defend that way where they can hold good offensive teams under 70 points on a regular basis?
I don't think so. They can win. I mean, they can grind some games out at home like they did on Saturday against good teams like LSU. But you know as well as I do, Hubbard, I mean, you're not going to be able to do that when a team's feeling good in its own building. The shots are falling, the crowd, you know, the crowd's into it, the momentum's going. I mean, they're not going to be able to hold everybody under 70 on the road, not the good teams. Now, the good news for Tennessee is they've already played all their toughest road games. Their toughest road game left is, I don't know, at Arkansas, at Mississippi State, one of those two. But I mean, to be anything other than a 7 or 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to find a way to score some points.
Yeah, Tennessee did not score 70 points in a game last week. How do they do that? Do you see some signs that there's some offensive? I mean, look, we've talked about Euros, but he's not going to suddenly average 15 a game for you. That's not who he is, and that's not what he's bringing to the team. Can they find more offense?
I mean, I think it sounds utterly elementary, but they just got to shoot the ball better. I mean, they're 12th in the SEC. I mean, these are some stupid numbers, Hunter. They are 12th in the SEC in three-point percentage. This is in league play, in 7 league games. They're shooting 29%. They're second in the SEC in three-pointers attempted at 154.
That's not good.
No, that is not a good combination.
I don't do math, but that's not good.
That is not a good combination.
And most of those, Rob, are good looks. It's not like they're just forcing stuff. They just can't make anything.
No. I mean, they've taken more three-pointers than Auburn in SEC play. I mean, who would have thought that? The only team that shot more is Alabama.
So how do they score? I mean, obviously, elementary, you got to shoot the ball better. But at some point, seven games in, you're a little bit of you are what you are. And I know Rick has said, hey, shots will start falling. But I'm going to go back to the question I asked you, I think, the second week of December about this team. How do they score when three-point shots aren't falling? Where can they generate offense? Is it high ball screen with Ziegler and Kennedy? What do they do here?
I think it's tough because, I mean, I don't see anybody in this team that's putting on the floor and getting to the rim other than Kennedy Chandler. True. I mean, I'm astounded at 3 years in. I mean, I cannot believe that Josiah has not developed that part of his game. I mean, he's one of the best athletes of the team. He's 6'6". He's strong as an ox. And he gets nothing when it comes to penetration. And Kennedy, I thought Kennedy did the best job that I've seen him of not only, you know, he only scored, I think, 9 points on Saturday, but he was he did the best job, I thought, yet of creating offense for others with his penetration. He had, you know, some really good driving kicks to Santiago. He had one really good, you know, where he dipped and dived and set Euros up with a bunny. So, man, I think that he can get better at that. He can do more of that. But other than just simply making shots up, they don't have a lot of creators on offense. I mean, Zakai is fun to watch, but he's 5'7", and he's not going in there and, you know, he's 5'9", excuse me, this guy, I'm sorry. But he's not going in there and creating a lot of offense, you know, for himself in the paint. They have to shoot it better. They have to play faster. They turn people over a pretty good bit. I don't think they get enough transition offense out of it.
I agree with that. I mean, they miss a lot of opportunities, you know, in 3-on-2 situations, even some 2-on-1 situations. They miss those chances. They do not – their ratio of points off turnovers is not nearly where it needs to be for as much as they're turning people over. All right, so Tennessee this week gets a break, in my opinion, Rob. Florida comes to town on Wednesday. Gators are 12-6, 3-3 as we tape this podcast. They play Monday night against Ole Miss in a makeup game. That's a nice scheduling benefit for Tennessee because they win in an easy game over Vanderbilt Saturday at home, 61-42. At Ole Miss on Monday, I don't even know if they'll go back to games.
They won't. I talked to somebody this morning.
They're just going to come to Knoxville.
They'll spend the night in Oxford. We're taping this on Monday. They'll spend the night in Oxford tonight, fly to Knoxville Tuesday morning, have a shoot around, walk through, and play Tennessee. So I think it's a big break for Tennessee. But I don't think Florida's fantastic by any means. But I think that's even more of an advantage for Tennessee. They're playing 3 games in, 5 days?
Yeah.
They're going to have virtually – no opportunity to scout you at all.
Yeah. Now the big man for Florida can play. I mean, that'll be a challenge for Tennessee in the post and how they match up with him. But Florida has a hard time scoring as well. That's not their greatest gift. They are not a great scoring basketball team. So favorable matchup for Tennessee Wednesday night at home against Florida. And then Tennessee travels to Texas on Saturday. And a Texas team, Rob, that is – been kind of up and down in a roller coaster Big 12. I mean, you know, you never know who's going to beat who in the Big 12 on a given Saturday. It seems
I haven't watched Texas play a ton. I'll be the first to admit it. I'll dive into them this week and you know, and doing some pregame stuff. But they're talented. But like you say, Hubbard, they're up and down. I don't think you really know what to expect. You know, first year head coach, and then a lot of turnover with the roster. And obviously going to be a lot of, you know, fanfare and hype from the media down there and nationally, I think, for Rick going back.
Yep.
And Hubbard, before we move on from hoops, I wrote this, but I'm going to throw this out there today. Santiago, I apologize for every bad thing I've thought about you as a player in the previous 2 years. But I've never thought he was a bad player. But I always also thought that Rick Barnes overvalued him. Played him too much at the expense of others. I can't. The kid has totally turned my head around. I mean, I think he's Tennessee's most valuable player here, you know, 7 games into the conference season. And I wrote this in the 3-2-1 for Monday. I threw a lot of stats in there. This is the craziest one. In SEC play, however, Santiago, who is 6'3", I think we can all agree, not incredibly athletic, he's 14th in the SEC in defensive rebounding.
Yep. It's a guy committed.
Tied with 6'10" Jabari Smith. They're both pulling down four defensive rebounds per game.
Yeah, Jabari Smith, who will be maybe the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. But again, that's you know, that's his style of play, and that's why Rick Barnes, you know, likes Muscobee, because he does all the little things and gets under people's nerves. Now he's just got – he can be Robin to Euros the Bully's Batman in the way that they play basketball. So we'll see how Tennessee fares on Wednesday night as they take on Florida. While Tennessee was beating LSU on Saturday, the Volunteers were also in the middle of a football junior day and recruiting junior day. Austin, as you review the list, a good number of Georgia guys in town, some key Georgia guys in town, starting with Vic Burley, a quarterback in town as well. I think it's important for Tennessee. I think those two guys, there are a lot of guys several guys we're going to get to. I thought those two guys were important for Tennessee to get on campus yet again. Burley's been here before, so is Christian, the quarterback, but important for Tennessee to get those back in. I'm not going to mess up his name, so I'm going to let you do it first.
That's so funny. Hubs is the king of just saying the kid's first name.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Hubs, if he ends up here? You got to do it on the Vol Network.
I'll learn to pronounce it. Go ahead.
You know, I'll go with Zini. You know, as much as I know Tennessee really loves Nico, they also can't put all their eggs in Nico's basket. For all the things I've outlined on the general's quarters about the fact that, you know, with the NIL structure in California, the kid can already, you know, have marketing opportunities. So to me, Tennessee and anybody that wants to be in the race for Nico has to be able to, you know, bring some opportunities to the table now. And that doesn't mean you're going to end up, you know, getting the kid in the long run. That puts you in a tough spot. So Tennessee will continue to recruit Nico. Josh Heupel was by there on Monday. They're going to continue to recruit, you know, Christopher Vizzini. They're going to continue to recruit Dante Moore. And then they'll continue to look at other quarterbacks, Brand. But they really like, you know, Christopher a good amount. He's a good-looking kid. He's big. He's a legit 6'4". And you know, and it seems like a pretty, you know, well put together kid. And then Vic Burley, I mean, Rodney Gardner will have Tennessee. Tennessee may not get Vic Burley, but they will be in that one till the end, in my opinion, like all the way till the end.
Yeah, Coach Gardner and Rodney's been recruiting Vic Burley for a long time. I mean, since he was at Auburn when Vic Burley was very young. Back to quarterbacks, Dante Moore, right?
Yep.
Is the kid from Detroit, Michigan. I'll give Joey Halsley, Tennessee's quarterbacks coach, credit here, Austin, because he never has been just, you know, it's all about Nico. He's certainly recruiting Nico. He's done a good job, though, with building relationships. It's pretty clear that Christopher Vanzini's family seems pretty comfortable with Tennessee, and I think Joey Halsley deserves a lot of credit for that. Well, with the way that he's recruited him, correct?
Same thing with Nico. Same thing with, I mean, I agree. I mean, he literally, like, Halsley has his own area. But for the most part, when coaches went out on the road, he's been on the quarterback circuit. I mean, he has, you know, been in the same handful of places, you know, a bunch, you know, seeing all these different quarterbacks. So, you know, he has done a nice job for a guy that was come in and you just kind of thought, okay, he knows Hype system. You know, Hype wants him around. He's, you know, not recruited at this level. I think he does a really, really nice job, you know, with the kids that he does have and seems to connect well with the prospects.
Yeah, Tennessee had a lot of good prospects in town, some skill guys. But to me, the big thing that jumped out about what they had in town this week for this junior day was some of the big body guys that they had. We mentioned Vic Burley, who's going to be a defensive lineman. Then you look at the offensive line standpoint, Austin, starting in state, you got a couple kids, you know, in Bryson Sanders and Aiden Bussell in town. And then you got the big kid over in North Carolina, Robertson, who was in town. I mean, for when you look at Tennessee's class for next year, everybody wants to gravitate to quarterback, which you have to have, running back, which you have. They got to go deep on the offensive line, though, when you look at where this offensive line is. They got to go 4 or 5, you know, at least on the offensive line. I thought it was key to get some quality guys in for this first junior day starting in state.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you start with Aiden Bussell. Tennessee seems to be positioned extremely well there. You know, Tennessee to me is the team to beat for Aiden Bussell. Then there's Bryson Sanders, who, you know, Tennessee's kind of, you know, continued to evaluate. He had a nice junior year. And in talking to some people coming out of this weekend, you know, Coach Ellerbe kind of does, it's like offensive lineman jeopardy. Like, I mean, like he quizzes these kids. And you know, Bryson Sanders mentally, you know, was unbelievable in that drill. Understanding protections, this and that, and, you know, understanding what Coach Ellerbe is looking for. So I think Tennessee will, you know, is going to make a much bigger push there with Bryson Sanders. Plus he has some versatility, you know, because he can play, you know, he could play right tackle. He's not a left tackle. He could play right tackle, most likely though, a guard and or a center at the next level, and a really smart kid. And then Sam Pendleton, the kid from over in North Carolina, you know, likes Tennessee a good amount. Tennessee offered his coach. They, you know, they told his coach about the offer last week, and then the coach forgot to tell the kid. So the kid came in, didn't know he had the offer. Tennessee's talking to the kid as if you have the offer, you know, and then so there's a little bit of confusion, but then he found out he's got the offer. Everything's good. Good looking kid from over in the Winston-Salem area. So not too far away. So, I mean, like, again, Tennessee's got to continue to recruit that footprint around here. I think Tennessee's going to be a much bigger player in North Carolina. Obviously they got, you know, some new ties there with Billy High, but I think, you know, Jerry Mack has coached over in that area. Eckler knows that area, you know, from having coached at several different spots over the years. So Tennessee's going to, I think, try to be a bigger player in the state of North Carolina this current cycle. And like I said, I think the Pendleton kid is a kid that you have a chance with. Grew up an NC State fan. Obviously Clemson's in play too. But, you know, I think Tennessee's in play there.
Yeah, and family has some ties from some friends in East Tennessee. Mom is was a huge Pat Summitt fan. They've been over to several Tennessee games through the years and even some Lady Vol basketball games. So they've made that drive a good bit. And, again, my mom family has some ties, not relationship ties, but some friendship ties in the East Tennessee area, which has brought them to this area quite a bit through the years. What else stood out to you, Austin, about the junior day in terms of visitors? I mean, they had the eighth grader in, right?
Yeah, Tyler Atkinson. He doesn't look like an eighth grader. He looks like a 20-year-old. Grew up actually in East Knoxville. Plays for Grayson Middle School down there in Georgia now. Will be at the high school level next year. But, I mean, you never know you were talking to an eighth grader.
And best looking recently turned 14-year-old prospect, from the football standpoint.
I mean, he's a 2026. I mean, I'm getting old when I'm interviewing 2026s, Rob. Kamarion Franklin, good looking kid. Rodney loves that kid. Huge fan. Went and saw him last week. And the kid comes up here for junior day. He's from North Mississippi, you know, kind of, I think, from the Memphis area. He's got a Memphis area phone, the 901. You know, he's a 2024 defensive lineman. That's the thing. Tennessee starts piling up D linemen. You start adding rushers and James Pierce, Josh Josephs. You had Caleb Herring, you're in it for Rico Walker, you're in it for Vic Burley. You know, you start looking to next year, 24, and you know, Kamarion is right there at the top of the list for Rodney. That's how this thing kind of slowly gets turned in the right direction. You start adding quality pieces on the line of scrimmage. So we talked to offensive line first, talked defensive line. And then, you know, I don't know if Tennessee will be a major player for Whit Weeks, but they're certainly going to try. You know, you talk to him, Brent. And then I love Grayson Howard. He's a good looking kid from down Florida, linebacker, tall. It'd be word I would use to describe him, long.
Yeah, very much so. You know, a guy who you could certainly look at and say he could be a Leo, or just a big rangy guy if you wanted to play him in the middle at linebacker. With Whit Weeks, we got a story coming up on him later today. I think the biggest challenge or the most interesting thing there is, what does he think of LSU when he visits down there? His brother, West Weeks, just transferred in to LSU from Virginia, moved in this past week. He will go back. He will go down there and visit them in March. His brother's a sophomore, going to be a sophomore. Look, it's your brother. I mean, there's obviously, Rob, there's obviously visions and thoughts of you know, playing together with your brothers is a cool concept. He made it clear that he would only go there if he felt comfortable himself. He's his own guy. But you know, you got to think that that gives LSU a pretty good track there, you know, having a chance with him, given the fact that his older brother has just rolled onto the Baton Rouge campus. So we'll see what happens with that. Dead period. Let's talk visits this weekend, Austin. The Jenkins kid is coming in from New Jersey, excuse me,
yep.
Defensive end. Maybe another, maybe not. May just be one this weekend.
They're done with
the signee visits, right? They don't have anybody left for a victory lap, do they?
No victory laps. You know, they are trying to get Miguel Mitchell to come up here to give him a look. But, you know, he committed to Florida last week. They went and saw him last week. They're still trying to swing, get him to come up here for a visit. We'll see. But Jenkins will definitely be here. And then I think there'll still be some, you know, there'll be some stragglers as far as juniors and sophomores that just come to town. It's not a junior day, but, you know, come to town and, you know, just kind of see, talk to coaches, that type of thing.
And then it goes dead starting February 1st. And for the month of February, it is a dead period. You can't have any players on campus, and you can't go out and see anybody. Tennessee's next junior day coming up in early March. And that one, it looks like it's setting up to potentially be another solid junior day for Tennessee. But again, you know, that's obviously subject to change. I think, Austin, they would like to get more in-state guys in town in March. You know,
well, Calgary Falls. You know, you look a lot of the Nashville crew, the NPA kids were in Miami at a 7-on-7 trip. The Tennessee Select kids had 7-on-7 practices. They gear up for their February and March, you know, 7-on-7 tournaments. So, the March 5th one should have a greater flavor of in-state kids. Although, I mean, they ended up with a solid amount. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, Cameron Sparks from Chattanooga came up. You had Trevor Duncan there. That's another one we didn't talk about earlier when we should have. We were talking about offensive line. You know, Trevor Duncan. Obviously, we talked about Sanders and Aiden Bussell. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't void of Tennessee kids. But at the same time, I think there'll be a greater selection of kids coming in March.
Yeah, the Sparks kid's good looking, is a good looking prospect. You know, we'll see kind of where things go with him.
2025.
Yeah, 2025 kid. Looks like a really good looking prospect for sure. I mean, again, they had some they good looking. I mean, the kid from Catholic, Trevor Duncan, I mean, that guy's
– He's a mountain, man.
He's going to be as big as he wants to be, it looks like. I mean, he's got a great frame to build on. And, Rob Lewis, if you want to feel old, Lee Smith was there with his freshman son.
Or soon to be freshman son.
Eighth
grader right now.
I feel old enough without that. AP's talking about talking to these kids. And Hubbard, I mean, Hubbard, I've been doing it longer than I have, but I told the story. One of the first interviews I ever did was with Jason Swain, class of 2003 from Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes. Yes.
Year were you born, Rob?
72.
What year were you born, Hubs?
74. Where were you born? 89?
83. I'm not that young. Good God.
You're not Ben McKee and Eric Kane young, right?
No, they were born in like 1996.
I know they were. Officially old. All right. Tennessee loses Chris Okporogene to the transfer portal. I don't think that's a shock. That does not mean that Tennessee is going to get a number for a midterm enrollee that will help in numbers coming up in the spring. I think he just entered his name in the portal to see what happens. He graduates in May. Austin, that's always been the plan, I think, has been in his mind, has been he was going to transfer in May, just going ahead and letting that know. It does not feel like – now, crazy things have happened. There's still a drop-ahead deadline. It just doesn't feel like Tennessee's got anything going in terms of one more midterm enrollee coming in, even though they, quote, technically have a spot with the decommitment of Isaiah Nair.
Yeah, I won't totally close the door.
No, I don't think you ever close the door, but it just doesn't feel like there's much there, right?
No, I mean, we're talking, you know, maybe one kid.
Yeah, we'll see if anything happens.
He's not slamming the door, however.
Well, you never listen. The one thing you learned, I mean, the linebacker from Florida has been in the portal, out of the portal, back in the portal. in a matter of about 36 hours. So the one thing you know is, particularly with the transfer portal, anything is definitely possible and ever changing with that situation for sure. Again, Tennessee basketball coming up Wednesday night as the Volunteers take on Florida. We've got full coverage of that. We'll have a preview of that, get you ready for that. Tons of recruiting coverage all week long coming out of Tennessee's Junior Day on Saturday. Some hoops recruiting stuff coming up as well. Plenty of things to going on at VolQuest to check us out there, and plenty of discussion going on at the General's Quarters. That's going to do it for this edition of the VolQuest podcast presented by our good friends at Smoky Mountain Organics. For Austin Price, Rob Lewis, I'm Brent Hubbs. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.
You've been listening to the VolQuest podcast every week here on VolQuest.